Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas is Sangeeta Iyer. Thanks for being with us, Sangeeta.
Thank you for having me on, and it's such a pleasure and privilege to be part of this show and be a voice for the elephants.
Sangeeta, can you tell our listeners how you got involved in animal issues?
Sure. Basically, I got involved in 2013, but then I've always had a soulful connection with elephants. When it comes to all animals, I always, you know, have a soft corner for all animals. I'm a nature and wildlife biologist with a background in biology as well as master's in environmental education and communication. So nature and wildlife and animals have always been part of my life.
I thought you were just a journalist and filmmaker. Didn't know about the biology background.
Having a background in biology really helps sort of, breaking down the dense scientific information into simple.
And it also helps you better understand the processes and the systems that all animals share in common through an evolutionary background. So when you talk about animal experiences, you have a better understanding of, whether they do or do not feel pain or not, because you understand how the nervous system works in all animals and not just in humans. So I think it gives you that perspective too.
Absolutely. You hit the nail right on, because, when you have that kind of a bond, like a close bond with animals, and when you really understand and almost embody what they are going through, because you know the insights, it definitely helps your cause. Definitely.
Well, Sangeeta, I think you're the perfect example of, for so many people that they're trying to be mindful and caring about animals all over the world, but also being able to focus in on one particular cause. And much of your background is in helping elephants, and maybe we can talk about why Asian elephants and what your experience has been.
So Asian elephants are an endangered, and there are approximately 40,000 Asian elephants left on the entire planet, and fully 27,000 of them are based in India. So almost 60% of the global Asian elephant population is in India. And so protecting them in India, for me, is vitally important. Of course, given the cultural background, because I was born and raised in India, and I've been living in Toronto for the past 35 years, but still that cultural connection and the deep bond with elephants, because I still remember my grandparents used to take me to this wonderful temple where they had this majestic bull elephant with whom, they would just leave me as though he was my babysitter, but he was shackled day and night, and we bonded on a deep level, but still I had that thing ingrained in my heart and soul. And it's almost like, and my grandma used to tell me when I, turned to be a teenager, she'd say, Sangeeta, I can't believe some of the questions you asked. Like I would ask her, she said that, why are these elephants chained, legs chained, and why not my legs chained? And then she went and bought me, the anklets. And then she tied the anklet, and she said, now you also have shackles. And I said, well, but their shackles are tied together, and they can't move. I can move freely. So this was like when I was 3.5, 4 years old. And a few years, few decades down the road, lo and behold, in 2013, the opportunity presented itself. It's almost like, I came full circle because through a chain of synchronistic events, I was led to do the work that I'm doing right now. So, and why Asian elephants? Because they're an endangered species, and there are 27,000 of them, but they're being decimated at an unprecedented rate. The human population is increasing at an unprecedented rate, 7.4 billion around the world, 1.38 billion in India alone. And just to give you a perspective on, the size of India, it's only one-third the size of the United States and has 3 times the number of people. Wow. Yeah, so you can imagine, why and how imperative it is to protect these animals.
Well, Sangeeta, how do the people in India perceive elephants? Are they, I personally have been to India and I saw people using elephants for work animals and for entertainment and also them ranging free, in a protective park. So how would you overall characterize people's interactions in India?
Yeah, that's a really good observation. And so it's a very complex relationship they have. And a lot of things are completely, like, you see stark paradoxes. On the one hand, they worship and revere these animals because they're considered to be the embodiment of Lord Ganesh. And on the other hand, they brutally subjugate these animals and then make them perform in the same temples where God's creations are supposed to be revered. So, it's definitely a stark paradox. And then, of course, like you said, they use the same animals for elephant rides, for logging. And, you know, they continue to argue that elephants have been part of our culture. Of course, elephants have been part of the Indian culture. In fact, elephants are India's cultural icon. Yet, so many things have changed over the century. I mean, they were used in warfare about 100 years ago. But now we have weapons of destruction. You know, within a split second, everything will be wiped out, right? All living beings will be wiped out. Now you have weapons of destruction. You don't need those elephants. And so if for logging, you know, we have turned into a mechanistic world, advanced machines have come to play. We have trucks and we have all of the other stuff to log. So you really don't need elephants. When it comes to elephant rides, you don't need elephant rides because there's so much more entertainment. When it comes to zoos, really, like, are you telling me that you are using elephants in the zoo as a means of education? You don't need that. There are a lot of, you know, nature program available on television. And if people really want to go and see them, like Elizabeth said, they need to go to see them in the wilderness in reserved, protected areas.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's biological reasons for the elephants to exist. People don't understand the interconnectedness of all creatures. Elephants perform important functions in the environment. Can you tell us about that?
Of course, ecologically, so significant that if I had to tell you the elephants are the very breath of life, would you think it's worth saving them? You know, the thing is, elephants, they consume approximately 300 to 400 pounds of fodder every single day, each elephant. And they wander across vast areas approximately 15 to 17 hours a day. And when they wander across, they're vagabonds. When they wander across vast areas, what do? They drop dung. And what do they do in the dung? There are lots of seeds in the dung. So seeds are dispersed across vast forest floors, and these seeds become trees. Trees give us oxygen to breathe and take up the carbon dioxide that we put into the atmosphere. That's how significant elephants are. And you know something, Greg? African elephants, they conducted a scientific study just last year, and African elephants apparently are climate mitigators. The thing is, they trample over soft wooded trees as they walk across the forest floor, and that allows rain and, you know, sunshine to fall on the forest floor and fertilize the trees, the hard-wooded trees. And the hard-wooded trees, they can sequester a lot more carbon dioxide than the soft-wooded trees. So elephants are such beautiful gardeners of the earth. And same applies to Asian elephants. Like, no research has been conducted, but Asian elephants definitely perform the same kind of functions. The other thing that elephants do biologically is they walk across, they create pathways for other mammals to the water holes, for other animals. For instance, you know, if there are weeds and everything carpeted on the floor, on the forest floor, the other animals cannot walk. But elephants, being the largest living land mammal on the planet, they have the ability, the dexterity, and the strength to trample all of these weeds and create pathways for the other animals to get to the water holes or to another side of the forest where they can actually find food. So imagine, I mean, the function, these are only the functions that we do know. There are so many things we don't know, and we'll probably know only when they perish, and I really hope it doesn't happen. It's so scary thinking of it.
Well, Lord Ganesha is the god of new beginnings and overcoming obstacles, so, you know, let's hope that happens.
I hope so too, Greg. Every day I say a prayer. Just protect your species, because without them, it's the planet is going to be. And a lot of people in America will wonder, why should I care about elephants in Africa or elephants in India? Although I know that there are a lot of Americans who carry elephants around the world, who care about elephants around the world. That's what I meant to say. The thing is, you see, the whole planet, all the borders between the nations have been created by people. But elephants are borderless. Pollution is borderless. Pollution drifts across vast areas. Climate change is borderless. What happens in one part of the world rumbles across the whole planet. We saw with tsunami what happened, but then we also saw with the Sandy in the United States. We saw so many devastating surging storms just a couple of years back in Texas, and places were decimated. People suffered. So many animals suffered. And You hit the nail right on when you talked about connecting the dots, and that is what is not happening. And I'm so happy that your radio station as a media is taking this opportunity to educate people. I think the media have a pivotal role to play in not only conveying messages of just one single man, but of the whole what's going on the planet ecologically, right? And so I think that's vitally important.
It is.
Well, Sanjita, could you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing to help the plight of these elephants?
Sure. So we have a lot of, again, education and awareness programs. We've also purchased land to create a corridor. We just wrapped up that project just last month. And we have created youth programs called Project Asian Elephants 101. And then we created a program called the Gentle Giant Summit in order to educate all of the bureaucrats about this and bring all of these people under one roof, because everybody operates in a silo, and you want to make sure that, certain ministries, like for instance, the environment and, forest or climate change and forest ministry, as well as the land, the ministry that is in charge of revenue land, they need to work together. The people who are in charge of the education, they need to work together so that we can educate the youth, we can educate children about the value of protecting our precious planet and its amazing, mesmerizing creations. So we have been doing that all along, and just recently, just last week, we launched a campaign to help out the villagers, because in India, in particular, 78% of the landmass is shared between people and elephants and wildlife. Can you believe? Because people, there's, like I said earlier, there's so many people that they've encroached into the forest area, and there's not sufficient place for elephants and other wildlife to wander around freely. And so they come into conflict with humans. Humans have encroached into their space. They don't know where else to go. They're naturally vagabonds, and they travel across vast areas. And at the end of the day, it really intensifies human-elephant conflict, and elephants are getting killed at an unprecedented rate due to COVID. In the past, I would say 35, 40 days, approximately 40 elephants have been massacred. They have been massacred by people poisoning and feeding, one of the elephants, they fed firecrackers in a coconut, and it exploded in her mouth, and she was 2 months pregnant, and she died after 15 days of suffering. Can you believe that?
Yeah. No.
So that's in India. And so we are now trying to address those issues by helping the villagers and not only educating them, but also providing them the basic necessities. These people, they not only are not educated, but they're also poor, too poor to afford even flashlights. So we are now purchasing flashlights per villager, per family. The campaign is called Flash the Light to Save Elephants of India. And so it's basically, it sounds so simple, but it is simple as well, because when people walk through the, you know, these areas at night, elephants come, they encounter the elephants and they come in contact and it can escalate into conflict. However, if they had a flashlight in their hand, the elephants will back off and say, oh, somebody's coming, because elephants are very shy creatures. They don't want to come in conflict with, they don't want to have anything to do with humans, period.
Good.
So, yeah, exactly. Good, right?
Yeah, well, and you know, Sangeeta, I think one of the things in your documentary film, Gods in Shackles, it's you know, there's a covers a wide variety of topics, but it's beautiful in that we get to see, you know, what the wild is like in India and see them and the elephants in their natural habitats, engaging in the behaviors that they've done for so long and have protected their species and helped them survive. And I'm just curious about, you know, how, you know, what's happening. Maybe we talk a little bit about how they're going from the wild, right? I mean, they're captured, yeah, and used in trade, and what's the strategy for why so many people are capturing them and putting them into trade?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and it's just for money. You know, it's a simple answer. It's like greed and selfishness are the key reasons why we are witnessing so many species becoming extinct. And so when you think about it, they capture elephants behind the veil of culture and religion, but the amount of money they mint in the temples, the donations that flood in, and it is, after all, an institution. And I know I've been chastised for speaking the truth, and that's okay, but it is the truth. It's like a business. You know, when you have a sacred place, in order to maintain the sanctity and the sacredness of the place, you better treat every single living being with equal respect, because God created every single living being, not just humans. God put every single living being on the planet for a particular reason. Every single living being has a purpose and a reason, even COVID-19. I know people hate it when I say that. It is just the honest truth. Speaking of which, I am so about what is happening in Texas right now. And I know I didn't want to veer away from the topic of elephants, but I just want to take a moment to tell everybody that even though I am in Canada, I'm keeping track of everything that's happening in the United States. My prayers are with you. My heart goes out to you guys. Please, just take care and please wear masks. If I just had that opportunity to say that, I just thought I would say it, because in Canada it is declining, but every time I step out, I wear a mask just to be on the safe side, you know?
Sure. Well, I'd like to ask you, do you have any spare bedrooms?
Oh, that is so funny. I do have a I know Canada is recovering well, and I'm happy about that. But
causing problems for our wildlife, like I mentioned earlier to you, right? And that is something that we need to be aware of, because when it's like everything is collapsing, the people want to hoard and protect their agriculture, their field and their plantation land and everything, and they're killing elephants. And, you know, we are doing everything we can to stop it and make sure, again, it comes down to money, right? The question that, Tom asked, it's about money. And so at the end of the day, money is the king, and we need to get to a point where we need to reflect and think, what if we had all the money on the planet? You cannot even step outside and breathe as it is happening right now. You have all the mesmerizing wildlife that is awaiting, that is happily roaming around, and we can enjoy and cherish, but we cannot do any of that because of our own making. That is what is happening right now.
Well, and Sangeeta, I think that's a great point. And a lot of it comes down to, just like with our dietary choices, you know, every time we spend a dollar, you say something about what you support and what you believe in. And so when we're buying factory farmed food, you know, we're saying, hey, that's okay, we agree with that. And the same way, if you're traveling for, you know, if you're going to go, which your film talks about some of the religious ceremonies, and so many people travel in for these, they're just beautiful events in so many ways. But if we're thinking about where we're going to spend our money when we travel, you know, you have to do that research to see if you're going, you know, not going on the elephant rides, if there's a so-called sanctuary, you know, an elephant sanctuary, what have you. You do the research and figure out if it's a good place to go and somewhere that you really want to spend your money, because that's what's propping these industries up.
Absolutely. And they will do anything to create that supply and keep the chain going, right? And it's a vicious cycle that we need to end. We are at an age and a technological era where we have so many amazing entertainment available to all of us. Why harass these animals? You know, why? You know, just let them be, let them live, let them be free, because, you know, elephants deserve to roam freely, and so do every single living being on the planet.
Well said. One of your next projects is this 26-part short film series. Maybe you can just give us a brief overview of what to expect from that.
I'm just at the National Geographic Society, actually awarded a grant to produce a 26-part short series on Asian elephants, and we just finished the sound mixing and everything yesterday, and it's the final render is happening as we speak. I'm so excited. It has been a labor of love, actually, but what you can expect to see is basically a range of topics, because, you know, I'm talking not only about the significance of elephants, but also their role in climate change, but also why not to keep them in captivity, and how captive elephants are treated versus, you know, wild elephants, and how elephants suffer from PTSD, you know, the post-traumatic stress disorder, yeah, and all these things, like, it's all compiled, and why temple elephants are, you know, actually being harassed, and why elephant rides are not as you know, sexy as they appear, and all these things. Yeah, and it's like, so that's what I've covered in that. And I'm if I submit everything by the end of the month, over the next 3 months, I'll know when it's launching, and I can let you know at the time. And I think it'll be a really good opportunity for people to watch. Yeah.
Well, that's great news.
Well, one thing people don't understand too about these elephant rides is, you know, they think, oh, it's good because the elephants are getting taken care of and they feed them and things like that. But then, you know, you point out to them, look at these big bull hooks that they're using to force the elephants to do this. And, you know, all these elephants go through a lot of traumatic training to learn how to carry people, you know, and to behave. Basically, they go through a very rigorous and terrible training process, and it's really hard for people to understand that, because they see an elephant and they just want to ride it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that is a really important point that you've raised, because for at least 7 to 10 days, every single wild elephant that is captured from the wild is tied in a little, very tiny thing called crawl, and their legs, all four legs, are tied. About 10 or 15 people beat the living daylights out of this elephant, hit it on the head with the bull hook, and then there are spears, and they'll poke and poke and poke, because they think that elephant skin is very thick, when actually it is highly sensitive. And it's just so sad that they won't feed water. They won't even give the elephants water to drink, nothing, no food to eat, until the elephant is so exhausted and tired that it surrenders and will do anything to just get a sip of water. That is just ruthless, brutal training that really people need to be aware of. In some places, it's called Pajan, and in India, it's called Katyadikal. And, you know, whatever you call it, it's nothing but brutality, you know, and
people need to be aware that any elephant brought in captivity is exactly.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Sagita. And maybe you can tell our listeners where they can go to learn more about how they can get involved, either through the Voice for Asian Elephant Society and the other work that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So basically, they can log on to
vfaes.org. That is Voice for Asian Elephant Society. VFAES.org. Let me repeat that. It is V as in voice, F as in Frank, A as in Asian, E as in elephant, S as in society. So VFAES.org has a lot of this information that I've talked about. We would love for people to volunteer. We've got some people from Texas involved. I want to say hello to Melinda Parr. She lives in I'm not sure exactly which area of Texas, but she's a Texan, and she was hoping to listen to this. So I think she'll be listening to this for sure. I'll put all of the information. And there are a lot of people from Texas who are very caring and concerned about elephants. They love elephants, too, so they can find information there. People who want to watch Gods and Shackles, it's available on Amazon Prime. And so if you're subscribing to Amazon Prime, you can just get Gods in Shackles. And we are also launched the campaign, which I had mentioned, Flash the Light to Save Elephants. So you can, you know, contribute whatever you can to that particular campaign. It's $5 per flashlight, and we're hoping to raise $25,000 to purchase 5,000 flashlights for 5,000 families. They can find that under Global Giving Foundation. The link is way too long, so if they Google, Global Giving Foundation, and then they put Flash the Light to Save Asian Elephants, then I think they'll find it. And
they can house it anyway. They can also volunteer if they want.
We've been talking with Sangeeta Iyer. She's a biologist, multiple award-winning broadcast journalist, nature and wildlife documentary filmmaker, and a National Geographic explorer. We really appreciate your time, Sangeeta, and for joining us on ACT Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to speak with all of you, and I really look forward to staying connected with you.